19. Psalm 119, familiar passage. And Brother Feaster, I know we're working on sound, but I'll let you know that Missy was the only one coming through the monitors here. I don't know if that was helping or hurting her, but anyway. But great song. Amen. I'm looking forward to the trumpet sounding. Aren't you? Man, Psalm 119 and verse 9. Psalm 119 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word, thy word, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and I have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Now, I think about the other verses, and all, of course, every verse here in Psalm 119 is speaking about the Word of God or concerning the Word of God. In Psalm 119:105, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let's pray. Lord, bless us this morning. I pray that you'd bless the reading of your word. I pray that we, as we enter this new year, again would be challenged in a way that would enable us to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that these words that are spoken this morning would be very practical, and that, Lord, we would apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at the Bible, and we know that the Bible is the greatest book on earth. It is the greatest book on earth. It is powerful. It's dynamite. The Bible describes it as being sharper than any two-edged sword. It's amazing. The Bible is referred to in so many different ways. It is the greatest book in the world. We should hide it in our hearts. We should hide it in our hearts. We should hide its words in our heart. As a kid growing up, I grew up in a Christian home, and I was encouraged by my dad to memorize Scripture. And we memorized lots and lots of Scripture. I'm encouraged by our Master Club program on Wednesday nights that really encourages our children to memorize Scripture, sometimes to the point of hundreds of them. It's amazing. I'm talking about multiple Scriptures that our children here at our church are memorizing in the program on Wednesday night. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That through the Word of God being spoken, through the Word of God being read, that faith comes by that Word. The Bible says thy Word is eternal in heavens, O Lord. The Word of God is eternal. When we get to heaven, it's going to be there. Not only the living Word, but the written Word. Thy Word is eternal, as settled eternally in the heavens. God's holy Word. A little different this morning. I just want to give you just a few practical words from the Scripture that will encourage and maybe help you in the new year. Just a few practical words to help you in this new year. The first word I want to speak on is the word faith. The word faith. So basically this morning, this sermon is a shotgun approach. Right? So in New Year's resolutions, New Year's beginning, this is a shotgun approach. At one point, one of these words is going to convict you. Because as I was putting this together, multiple of these words convicted me. The first one is faith. The first one is faith. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And I'm here to tell you that we are saved by faith. Saved by faith through grace. That not of herself, it is a gift of God. And I pray this morning, and I hope that you know, that you know, that you know, if you were to die today, that you would have a home in heaven. I pray today that there's been a point in your life when you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have believed upon Him, that you've come to Him and repented of your sins, and you have come to Him believing that He lived, and that He died, and that He rose again from the dead, that you can have, so you can have eternal life. Amen. There's a heaven, there's a hell, and I don't want to go to hell when I die. I want to go to heaven. I want my sins forgiven, enabling me to go to heaven, and it's the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said Himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And that coming to the Father is through faith. Through faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. As we hear the Word of God preached and we apply that and accept Jesus as our Savior, we accept Him by faith. Not by works. The Bible says, lest any man should boast. It's not whether or not you join the Baptist church, the Methodist church, the Episcopalian church. No matter what church membership you are, that's not what saves you. It doesn't matter whether you gave $10 in the plate, $3 in the plate, or you gave $1 million in the plate this morning. That does not save you. It doesn't matter whether you're a good father, bad father, good mother, bad mother. That's not what saves you. It doesn't matter whether you've been baptized 10 times, 2 times, 1 time. That's not what saves you. We are saved by faith. Believing and putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. His life, His death, and His resurrection. Have faith, the Bible says. Jesus said Himself in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, not only are we saved by faith, we are to live by faith. We are to live by faith. I'm glad today that faith in the Lord Jesus is what cheers us. It's what encourages us. Having Him reign in our hearts as the authority in our hearts through faith is what brings us through those tough times. It's what brings us through the storms of life. Have faith in God, Jesus said. Have faith in God. So many Christians today gripe and complain all the time about what's going on in their life. In fact, sometimes I get around certain people, they're so negative it discourages me, and I'm hard to discourage. You know, get your eyes off your circumstances and get your eyes on Jesus. Amen? We're not just saved by faith. We're to live by faith. We're to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ every day. Every day that when we get up, we ought to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we grow that faith? We grow that faith by the Word of God. By reading the Word of God. By hearing the Word of God preached. By hearing the Word of God sung in song. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We ought to read the Word of God and believe it. Believe it. I'm glad I believe it. Now, Jesus Christ gave us His Word, and what He says is settled. It's a fact, no matter what He says. But it does take us believing it in order for it to help us, in order for it to encourage our hearts. By the way, has He ever let you down? He's never let me down. Now, at some points in my life, when I was going through the difficult circumstances, I can say that maybe I thought something wasn't just exactly right. But on the other side, when I came out of it, I look back and say, you know what? The Lord was with me the whole time. I'm glad, as my Sunday school teacher said this morning, He shepherds us through the problems. I'm so glad of that. Sometimes He shields us, sometimes He shepherds us through. See, I listen. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. So we don't just put our faith and trust in Him at salvation. We put our faith and trust in Him every day as we live our lives, that He will carry us through, or He will shield us from problems. We think about faith this morning. Thy Word have I hid in my heart. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. And the words of the Bible, how they help us, how they comfort us, how they encourage us. And then sometimes, they step on our toes. The second word is obedience. Is obedience. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, the Bible says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And Hebrews also repeats this verse. The New Testament repeats this verse and just reminds us that God is not as much concerned about, and talk about Israel, He wasn't as much concerned with Israel sacrificing bullocks and lambs as He was concerned about their obedience. Hello? You know, sometimes we as Christians get wrapped up in all the traping, religious stuff, and we can get caught up in the rituals, in our programs, and forget that God wants us to obey Him. That our education has far exceeded our application. I was raised in church from the time I was 2 years old. I'm not saying I haven't arrived. I don't know every nook and cranny of the Bible. I know a lot of it, and I love to read, and I find new stuff in it every day. It's amazing how the Word of God is alive in that way. But I do know a lot of it, and I can tell you personally that my knowledge of the Bible far exceeds my application of the Bible. Obedience. He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Let me tell you this morning, in the new year, I want to yield to God. I want to obey Him more. And so I think about that. I think about obedience. I think about that term. It's been used. I think Brother Sexton, some others have used the term five-star Christian. We've actually used it in children's church with our kids. Some of your children will know this term, five-star Christian. What is that very beginning, the very basics as we as Christians should follow in obedience? What are the very basics? When you get down to it, you say, this is the starting level of where a Christian should begin. Number one, read your Bible. As a Christian, you ought to read your Bible daily. Amen? Develop a daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me out now. Everybody alive? Good? Okay, we're going to get on some better terms in a minute. So you guys just hang in there with me. Obedience. Reading your Bible. The new year has begun tonight. We'll reveal the new theme, but we'll also give you a daily Bible reading schedule tonight. And I hope and pray that we as members and the family of Heritage Baptist Church will be just be diligent about reading our Bibles daily. What a blessing it is to develop that walk with the Lord. And it'll be a blessing to your heart as well. Number two is just pray. Prayer. Prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God, and we as Christians many times fail in our prayer life. The Bible says there in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. We ought to always be praying. We ought to always be in the attitude of prayer. Number three, church. Church attendance. And luckily, you're here this morning, like I said. You haven't missed one Sunday yet. Amen. Now, we have several. We have a ton out with the flu this morning. By the way, we sprayed everything in this church with Lysol. We're trying to be diligent here to keep you from getting sick when you come here. And if you don't want to shake somebody's hand during this next couple of weeks, 3 months, whatever, I don't care, you know. If you want to, I will shake your hand and I'll wash mine afterwards, I promise you. But, you know, we have a lot today are missing who are out sick. And so, understandably, you're not in church if you've got the flu and 103 temperature. We don't want you to come. We'd rather you stay home. We all don't want to get sick. I don't care how muscular you may think you are. All right? So there are exceptions, and certainly job-related and other things. But let me tell you, it takes three to thrive. Dr. Lee Robertson, who pastored the great church there in Chattanooga, Tennessee, pastored it for over 40 years, and pastored it until he was in his early 80s. And they ran multiple thousands, 10,000 people or so. Very good, strong, independent Baptist church, conservative, great church. And he promoted all the time with his people, three to thrive, three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, be in church. If you want to thrive as a Christian, then be faithful to the services of your church. Be faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Be faithful in your church attendance. I know we repeat it a lot, but Hebrews 10:25 says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We live in a day and age in which people have gotten lazy. Churches, pastors have gotten lazy, stopped having Sunday night and Wednesday night services. They have given in to the present age, in my opinion. They've given in to the present age. Listen, the Bible says that we should not meet less as we see Christ's return approaching. Hebrews chapter 10, you can go look it up for yourself. Hebrews 10:25 says that as we see Christ's return drawing nigh, we should meet more as we see the day approaching. In other words, we're to go to church more as we see Christ return, becoming, getting closer to our time. And listen, we believe in the imminent return of Christ, don't we? He can return tonight. I'm telling you, all prophecies have been fulfilled that need to be fulfilled, and He can come back today. He can come back now. And Hebrews, Paul tells us, listen, as we see His day approaching, as we see the blessed hope drawing nigh, that we should be in church more. Three to thrive. Three to thrive. Listen, don't get too busy for God. Don't get too busy for God. And again, I understand work and sickness and things such as that, and that's between you and the Lord. But sitting on the couch on a Wednesday night and watching the boob tube on Wednesday night, watching the one-eyed monster on Wednesday night, instead of coming to church, is not going to help your Christian life. It's not going to help you thrive in your Christian life. It's not going to help you go forward in your Christian life. And listen, we have some who have a hard time driving at night. I'm not talking about you and others who have, and those things are between you and the Lord. But I'm telling you that in this new year, you've started off Sunday right, you're here. Why not just make a commitment to be at every service this year? Why not make a commitment to come to every service and be a part and thrive as a Christian? Not just survive, but thrive. I don't like anything just to do mediocre. I want to do my best. Don't you? Amen? And I want to encourage you to be here, be a part of the services, every service, be in every regular service. By the way, those who come to every service are least likely to backslide. Really hard to backslide when you're in services three times a week. Really hard to backslide if you're in services three times a week and you're reading your Bible. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Amen? And so, again, obedience. The Bible says we are to meet more as we see the day approaching. And I just want to encourage you, and especially our church family, man, be regular at church attendance. And I know I grew up in church, and my dad would not, he missed maybe one service a year for vacation, but otherwise we were there. There was never a question whether or not we were going to church or not. We didn't get up on Sunday morning and say, I wonder if Dad's going to church or not. By the way, he didn't become a pastor until I was 15. Before that, he was a deacon. He was a children's church worker. He was a bus director. And by the way, sometimes he did all of those at the same time. Very busy for the Lord. But there's never a question on Wednesday night. He'd come home from work. He worked 6 days a week. He worked, 48, 50 hours a week in the oil field. And we never missed a service. Never a question of whether we were going or not. So again, I want to encourage you. Be obedient. Be regular in church. Three to thrive. Go forward in your Christian life. Obedience, Bible reading, prayer, church attendance, giving. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Talking about these basics of Christianity. Five basics of Christianity. These are merely the starting point of Christianity. We want to get even further than these five. But the five are Bible reading, prayer, church attendance, and tithing. So, oh no, we're going to talk about money. Yeah, we ought to do it every once in a while. I rarely do it. But the Bible says we ought to tithe. 10% of your income belongs to the Lord. 10% of my income belongs to the Lord. And on an everyday basis, every Sunday basis, first day of the week, let every man lay aside what God has prospered him. We come to church and we give our 10%. By the way, Malachi says, if you will give, God will bless you. Now, it doesn't mean that God will give you a Lamborghini like some of them TV evangelists tell you, or that He'll give you a mansion. But He has promised that if you will give, He will bless you. So being faithful to the house of God, being faithful in your Bible reading, being faithful in your prayer life, being faithful in your giving. And again, God will bless you. And then lastly, witnessing. And we press and we push. I'm looking forward to our soul winning kickoff this Tuesday night and of course on Saturday. And I'm looking forward to going out and telling others, but being a witness to those around you every day, not just Tuesdays and Saturdays, but every day, inviting somebody to church and telling somebody about Jesus, handing somebody a tract. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. The third word is consecration. Consecration. And you come back tonight, we're going to talk a lot about this word and some others for the new year and a part of our new theme. Consecration. Romans chapter 12, very familiar passage to most of you. The Bible says, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Listen, we are to consecrate our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to give our lives to the Lord. It's our reasonable service. And that we are not to be conformed to this world. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Consecration hath a lot to do with separation and being separated from the world. In other words, living every day for Christ. Living every day as Christ would live. Paul said, take up thy cross daily and follow me. Paul said, follow in his steps there in Corinthians. I just merely want to live like Jesus, as close as I can. in this old earthly body, in this old sinful nature, just to be like Jesus. Separation. Surrendering all to Him. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Consecration. Totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Emptying of oneself. Again, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul said, I die daily. And I could spend a whole sermon on that one. I die daily. It's not about me. It's all about Him. And if I'll make it all about Him, my life will be totally different. What a blessing it is to live my life for Him rather than for me. Rather than for me. I die daily. Die daily. We ought to desire to live a life that's consecrated to Him. To give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. To be totally yielded to Him. As we think about these words, faith. As we think about the word obedience. Think about the word consecration. The fourth word is service. Mark chapter 10, verse 43, the Bible says, But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. Service. Servant. To be a servant. And this year, this new year, we ought to desire as Christians to be a servant to others around us. Jesus Christ was a servant. He did not put Himself out front, but He did not come to be ministered unto, the Bible says. Jesus said, I came to minister. He washed the disciples' feet. As I've said before, I hate feet. I don't like feet being on me, near me, close to me. They're stinky and yucky. And Jesus Christ stooped down in that day in which they wore sandals. They wore sandals. Their feet were nasty. And He took the position of a servant in the household. And instead of a servant, one of the hired servants or one of those slave servants washing the disciples' feet, He Himself knelt and washed His disciples' feet, giving them an example that they ought to be a servant to all. And as we go forward in this new year, we ought to desire to be a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we should not ask for the chief place. It shouldn't be about whether or not we get a pat on the back and so forth. And these are areas we all deal with, that pride issue. All deal with that issue. We must be very careful. I mean, Jesus' disciples, a couple of them said, well, who's going to serve with you? Who's going to be by you? Or the mother asked, who's going to be by you in the kingdom? You know, they were always looking for the front spot. They were always looking to be the one who sat there beside Jesus. And so, we should be servants. Do what the Lord asks you to do. Do what He asks you to do. Simply come to Him and say, Lord, I'm willing to be a servant, whatever you want me to do. And we should serve Him as well as serve those around us. And then number five is watchfulness. Watchfulness. Thinking about the new year, some practical words from the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy Word have I hid in my heart. Some practical things that can help us. Matthew 25 and verse 13, talking about watchfulness. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And we talked about this last week, that one day we will stand before God. And we need to be watchful. Jesus Christ said, He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's coming again, folks. He's coming again. And we have the scoffers here in this last days, as Peter said. We have scoffers in this last day who said, where's the promise of His coming? And they're saying that today, but let me tell you, He is coming. He is coming again. The trumpet will sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up, rapture, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever live with the Lord. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? Looking forward to the blessed hope. But in light of that, looking for that blessed hope, we must be watchful, ready. Watchful, ready for His coming. In that we ought to live as though Christ would return today. Live as if Christ would return today. Because we will stand before Him and give an account. As Christians, we will stand before Him and give an account. And we must remember that. That'll help us live right, by the way. If we truly believe He would come, you know, at 1 o'clock today, most of us would live a little differently. We really would. Knowing that we're going to stand before Him and give an account. So, understanding and knowing that He could return today will change our life now. Live every day as if we were to stand in His presence. And then number six is compassion. By the way, every one of these words could be a sermon on their own. And I could spend too much time on each one, so we're heading on. Ready? All right. Compassion. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw, talking about Jesus, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. He saw them as a sheep having no shepherd. Compassion. As we think about Christ talking about being a servant, a minister, we think about Christ and His compassion, being Christ-like. That is the goal of a Christian, by the way. If you're here and you're saved, and you know Jesus as your Savior, and you're a part of the family of God, your desire as a member of the family of the Lord Jesus should be to be like Jesus. To mimic Him. To follow in His steps, right? We glorify God. That is our ultimate purpose in life. We've taught that about our kids. Our kids, y'all, teenagers, your ultimate purpose in life is to glorify God. But we glorify God by following in Jesus' steps. We glorify God by being conformed to the image of His Son. One of the greatest attributes of our Savior is compassion. And this is probably the one that we, and I'm pointing at me, that we probably lack the most of. Especially in this day and age. We are jaded, aren't we? Most of us. Some of you may not be as much as I am. We live life after a few years and we become a little jaded towards those who may seemingly need help, but we don't think they need help. We see the guy, you know, at the red light holding the little sign, and we're all jaded towards that, aren't we? Oh, come on. Some of y'all may be more spiritual than me. Honestly, maybe some of you who are not that way. But I'm jaded that way. I just am. I don't want to hand him a dollar, and I won't. Now, in the past, we've gone down to McDonald's and bought a Happy Meal and brought it back around and said, here's a hamburger, you know. Not a Happy Meal, but a hamburger. But I very rarely would ever give somebody cash. And even in the gas station, when somebody walks up and says, I'm just jaded that way. And there's times I've said this many times. I said, yeah, I'll give you gas money. Pull up to the gas pump. And it's funny how about half of them won't do it. They wanted the cash. But we're jaded. We are. Maybe not so much about helping our neighbor, because we know them. But we are jaded. Listen, Jesus looked out on this great multitude. And I know He was God. He knew them. But this was a tremendous multitude. And He was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. I would say the most touched I've been in a long time was when Brother Fran was with us, missionary to the Philippines, was with us during the missions conference. Of all the missionaries who were here, and all of them were great, his presentation and his pictures of the Philippines touched my heart the most. When I saw those people living beside the railroad tracks and those little shanties, and I saw those children and all the things, that 35,000 people living there, 40,000 people living these little nothings, it moved me. Not just for their souls, not just so they could get saved, but also moved me for their physical needs. And what a good thing it is for us to be, maybe every once in a while, just kind of slapped upside the face and just be reminded, hey, we have it so good. We're Americans. Our poor are not really poor. They're really not. You got to go to a third world country to really see poor people. And we sometimes become just jaded in these areas. And we must be careful. In other words, we have to be more diligent about praying to the Lord and saying, Lord, help me to be compassionate. Amen. We have to pray that way. And from time to time, I don't say I pray it every day, but from time to time I find myself being maybe lacking compassion as I should. And Lord, I come to you and say, Lord, help me be compassionate as your Son is compassionate. Help me to have a love for people as your Son had a love for people. Lord, help me to have a love for souls and a compassion for souls as your Son has a compassion for souls. Because in and of ourselves, we do not have that kind of compassion. It has to come from the Lord. We can't just, you know, dig way deep down and pull it out of some well, out of the inner being of our hearts. It has to come from that compassion and that love. It's a Christ-like love, and that love only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have a hard time witnessing to people because of maybe how they look or what they are or so forth. Listen, we need to have compassion on the multitudes as Jesus had compassion on the multitude. Whether they're rich, whether they're poor, whether they're ugly, whether they're pretty, whether they're black, whether they're white, whether they're yellow, whatever the case may be, we need to have compassion on the multitudes. We need compassion. We need compassion. A story is told of a little boy during the Depression whose family was very hungry and they had a few cents to spare. And he went down, the little boy, little five-year-old boy, went down to the store and bought some eggs, a couple of dozen eggs. And as he was walking out the door, the wind hit the door and he dropped the eggs. And during the Depression, I mean, that 50 cents, 25 cents, whatever it was a lot of money. And he stood there, this five-year-old little boy stood there and cried right in front of the door of this grocery store. And the crowd gathered. And the crowd began to talk about the little boy. And one said, I'm just so sad for that little boy. And another one talked about, I'm sure his family was hungry and so forth. But one man stepped out and next to the boy and handed him a nickel. And he looked around and said, who else can help this boy? Who else will help this boy? It's one thing to have compassion on someone. It's another thing to do something about it. It's one thing to see the great PowerPoint presentation, the great DVD presentation that Brother Fran showed us there, the missionaries of the Philippines, and to get our hearts stirred and maybe shed a tear and feel that compassion. It's another thing to act upon it. See, Jesus didn't look out of the multitudes and do nothing. He fed them. With five loaves and two fishes, He fed 10,000 people. Did a great miracle. At least we could step out and give $5 to missions. At least we could step out and give 50 cents to missions. At least we could hand somebody a track or whatever and have that compassion. At least we could step across to our neighbor who's having a hard time and bring them a meal. At least we could go across the street and help maybe mow our neighbor's yard. I don't know what it may be. Help the guy at Taco Bell be able to speak through that little speaker better. Whatever it is that we just have compassion on people. And again, number one, about their spiritual need, but number two, they're also their physical need. Jesus Christ had compassion. And number seven, and this is the last one, is faithfulness. Faithfulness. And this is the one that really got me when I was studying for the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. That a man be found faithful. The Bible says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to enter the portals of glory, and I want the Lord to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Notice He didn't say good, rich servant, good, faithful servant. The Bible says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Faithfulness is a major theme in the Bible, as all of these words are. Faithfulness, being faithful. You know what? You can be faithful even though you may be handicapped. You can be faithful no matter your age. You can be faithful no matter your education. You can be faithful no matter your status in life, your social status, no matter what house you may live in, no matter what car you may drive. You can be, now if you drive a Ford, you may have a hard time getting here and being faithful to the house of God, but you can get a Chevy and you'll be just fine. Faithful. Sorry, Dodge too. Throw Dodge in there on top of everything. Faithful. No, Dodge means you need to drive a Chevy and not drive a Dodge. Faithful. You can be well educated and not be faithful. You can have lots of money and not be faithful. You can have the greatest health and not be faithful. See, everyone can be faithful because it doesn't matter those things. And listen, that's what God is looking at. He's not looking about what house you live in. He's not looking at what education you may have. And the education's good and the Lord's blessed you with wealth. Praise the Lord. But when it comes down to it, when you get to heaven, it's going to be about whether or not you were faithful. Faithful in all things. All those previous words we just talked about, faithful in those. Faithful, faithfulness. determined to be a faithful servant of God. We live in a day and age, and I know it's always been around, but we live in a day and age in which a lot of Christians are yo-yo Christians. Up and down, up and down, up and down, and some way to the extreme. Don't be a yo-yo Christian. Amen? Be one of those Christians that your pastor can depend upon. Be one of those Christians that your Sunday school teacher can depend upon that you'll be in your spot. Be one of those Christians who is faithful, dependable. Be a Christian who is steady. Be a Christian who is reliable. A reliable servant. A steady servant. A dependable servant. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Everybody can be faithful. Be faithful in your church attendance. Be faithful in your Bible reading. Be faithful in your giving. Be faithful in your witnessing. Be faithful in your prayer life. Be a faithful Christian. Be faithful. Moreover, it's required of a steward, in a steward, that he be found faithful. And when we get to heaven, as Christians, as born-again children of God, we are not going to be judged for our sins. They are under the blood. Amen? But we will give an account for our works. And at the very top of the list, we're going to give an account for our faithfulness. If I could do nothing else this year as your pastor, it would be to encourage you to be faithful. To be faithful. Be dependable. Be reliable. Be faithful to the things of the Lord. We are pulled on every side, aren't we? We are pulled on every side. We live in a fast-paced, microwave, McDonald's society. We really do. It's amazing to me how that all the gadgets and all the new fandangled things we've got was supposed to improve our life, and all it did was make us busier and complicate our lives. If I could do anything for you this year, it's just say, simplify things. At the very top of your list should be your relationship with God. The second on your list is your family. The third on your list is your church family, your church. The fourth and fifth and sixth are all down below that. Simplify your priorities as I preached last Sunday. Be faithful to the house of God. Be faithful in your relationship with the Lord. Be faithful. Words from the Bible. Faith. Have faith in God for salvation. I hope this morning you're saved. If you don't, if you're not, I pray this morning in just a minute we're going to sing a verse. And we're going to give you an opportunity to come to the front, to this altar, and we'll show you from the Word of God how you can be saved, how you can have a home in heaven, how you can have your sins forgiven. Faith for salvation. But Christian, remind you that faith is also for living. And as you go through those turbulent times, as you go through those times of sickness, as you go through times of death in the family, financial issues, have faith in God. Believe that He'll carry you through, and He will. He's never let me down, and He'll never let you down. Faith in Him, obedience to God and to His Word, obedience to God and His Word, simply being obeying Him in every area of life, obedience, consecration, giving all of yourself to Him, service, serving Him as a servant, watchfulness, being ready that He can return at any moment, compassion, compassion, compassion. Pray that the Lord would give you compassion. And then lastly again, faithfulness, faithfulness. Seven words for the new year. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Hymn 153, I surrender all. After we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for these words this morning. I pray that they would be hid in our hearts. I pray that they would be a light into our path. That as we approach this new year, that You would help us to be faithful above all things. I pray this morning if there's someone here who's not saved. Lord, maybe there's someone here who's never had a personal relationship with You. I pray today that You would encourage them, that You would give them the courage to step out of their chair and to come forward and accept You today, to believe and put their personal trust in You and You alone for salvation. And I pray for us as Christians this morning, those who are saved, that You would enable us to be faithful this year. More so than in the past, that You would enable us and encourage us and strengthen us for Your work. In Jesus' name.